The skeletal or bone system is the topic of Chapter 4. The discussion starts with the anatomy and physiology of bone cells and bone tissue. Then the axial skeleton, the skull, spine, and ribcage, is covered in detail, as well as the appendicular skeleton, mainly the extremities. The functions of joints and ligaments are discussed as they are important aspects of the skeletal system. The anatomy and physiology of the muscular system are the topics of Chapter 5. It begins with a discussion of muscles and tendons, as well as the different types of muscle tissue. The muscles of the head, neck, trunk, upper extremities, and lower extremities are also discussed. Chapter 6 examines the structures and function of the central nervous system. There are different types of brain cells, some of which conduct electricity, and others that protect and support the electrically active nerve cells. The gross anatomy and basic functions of the brain are covered in this chapter, as well as the gross anatomy and basic functions of the spinal cord, which is also technically a part of the central nervous system, or CNS. Chapter 7 covers the structure and function of the peripheral nervous system. These are the nerves located outside of the brain and spinal cord. The major somatic sensory and motor nerves are covered, including the way the major senses are picked up by the body. The cranial nerves that do not come from the spinal cord have unique functions, which are discussed. The structure and function of the autonomic nervous system are also covered in this chapter. The focus of Chapter 8 is the endocrine system. This involves the hormones and their interactions with the various body systems. There are numerous endocrine organs, both within the brain and outside in the rest of the body. The hypothalamus, the pituitary gland, and the pineal gland are all located near or within the brain. The other endocrine glands covered are the adrenal gland, the thyroid gland, the parathyroid glands, and the endocrine portion of the pancreas. The reproductive hormones are covered in a later chapter on the reproductive system. The anatomy and physiology of the heart are discussed in Chapter 9. The heart plays a central role in the cardiovascular system, being the major pump that allows blood to flow through the rest of the body. The cells of the heart, cardiac muscle cells, have a unique electrical activity and synchronize the activity of the chambers of the heart. The coronary arteries are the major arteries supplying the heart. They are important because damage to any of these arteries can potentially cause a heart attack. The discussion of the cardiovascular system continues in Chapter 10. There are arteries, veins, and capillaries that allow for blood flow and gas exchange in the tissues after oxygenated blood is pumped out of the heart and before deoxygenated blood re-enters it. The components of blood and blood typing are also an important aspect of the cardiovascular system and are topics in this chapter. The lymphatic and immune system are covered together in Chapter 11 in the course. The lymphatic system includes the vessels of the lymphatic system that filter blood and pathogens, making these structures also important to the immune system. The thymus gland is a part of the immune system as well as the spleen. Both of these are discussed in this chapter. The immune system is broadly divided into the innate and adaptive immune system. The cells of the immune system and the physiology of these aspects of the immune system are explained in detail in this chapter. The structure and function of the respiratory system are the main topics of Chapter 12. The respiratory system is broadly divided into the upper and lower respiratory tract. The lower respiratory tract is primarily made up of the lungs and the bronchial tree. The anatomy and physiology of the gas-exchanging structures of the lungs, or the alveoli, finish up this chapter. The topic of Chapter 13 is the human digestive system. It entails everything in the digestive process from the mouth to the anus, as well as several other structures involved in digestion, including the liver, gallbladder, and the exocrine portion of the pancreas. The different anatomical structures included as part of the digestive system are covered in detail, including how they function to take food and turn it into nutrients used by the entire body. Chapter 14 is a continuation of the digestive system. However, it involves the microscopic and molecular aspects of metabolic processes. Carbohydrate, protein and lipid metabolism are discussed, as well as the important energy-producing process of glucose metabolism.